welcoming today, this afternoon, Dr. Farouk Dean, who's just returned from helping victims of the disaster in Turkey. You went on behalf of the charity Humanity First, which is based in Surbiton, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you for having me. I flew out just over 10 to 12 days ago and spent some time in Turkey in the earthquake affected areas in the eastern part of Turkey, and that was with Humanity First providing medical aid to those affected by the earthquake.
What was your first impact? What was the first images that you saw when you got there, and what impact did it have on you?
I think the destruction that we see obviously on TV can only show a small glimpse of what you see when you go there. So driving from the airport to the camp where we were providing aid, building after building was sort of decimated and to the ground. It wasn't just one building, it was block after block. And obviously that's had a major impact on how I see things in the future and how I'm seeing life coming back to the UK even.
You're a doctor, you're a medically qualified doctor. What sort of aid were you able to give people?
I think we were part of the EMT one team. So I think sort of the injuries that you would expect from the earthquake, they were sort of immediate. We went sort of a week later. And this is where you see more of the chronic health conditions exacerbated to acute conditions due to the earthquake. So coughs, colds, infections, children with breathing problems, you know, because of sleeping outside in cold conditions, flu, etc. These were some of the common things that we were seeing, we were treating. And obviously there's other infections you can imagine in areas where you don't have access to easy your house or a hot place to sleep in at night.
Are we looking at problems maybe even with cholera as the problem continues?
I think the Turkish authorities have actually done very well. Each camp or tent city, as you can say, does have access to clean water, toilets. So in terms of access to clean water and hygiene, I think there are toilets, whether they're one toilet for 100 people, there is water, there's showers, people can clean. I think people, because of how many people are staying in these camps, maybe choose not to do it as regularly as they would if they had their own house. But there is facilities there to sort of look after yourself. In terms of long-term conditions, obviously cholera is always a concern when there's an earthquake. But I think so far, so good. I think we didn't see any severe sort of communicable diseases. There wasn't really significant outbreaks during the time that I was there. It was more primary care needs.
How are children and families coping? Are they managing to manage the situation, and also how they're being encouraged that maybe one day there'll be a home to go back to?
So I think this is one of the major things which we don't see. The affecting on the young children especially is huge. Schools have been destroyed, places of play, whether playgrounds or in their house when they used to play with their toys. You know, everything's gone. Like a young child of 5 doesn't have his toys to play with. You know, how are they going to pass time? So I think the major impact is obviously on the mental health aspect of these young kids. And I think it's important to stress that they are suffering with the kids not having access to basic needs, which we take for granted here back home. But on the other hand, there are small, through their Red Cross Agency of Turkey, they've established kindergartens in many of the camps. So a lot of young children have access to some element of play and education during the day. But the hope is there that one day their cities will become vibrant and bustling again.
Which city did you actually go to yourself? Because presumably it was quite a big town you went to. Because there's been reports that the smaller outlying towns that were affected by the earthquake are still under rubble and still needing assistance.
Yeah, so I think multiple areas in the east of Turkey have been affected. The camp that we went to was sort of 1 hour from a major airport called Adana. And this town was decimated, but parts of it were, and parts of it weren't touched. It's like nothing happened there. But obviously people's homes are unsafe to go back to. I think effect of the collapsed homes, especially the people who've been displaced. I think in this town alone, there was 5 or 6 camps, each with about a minimum of 200 or more small tents for people to sleep in. So, I mean, the scale of the disaster is much more than we can imagine.
Are they still pulling people alive out of the wreckage, or is it now a case of just pulling out people that have perished?
We're over 3 weeks from the disaster, so the stages of pulling people out of life are long gone. I think within the first 72 hours, if you don't pull people out, it's very little. And I think the stories that we see on the media, oh, we pulled someone out, people automatically think, oh, they must have pulled lots of people out. Actually, I think the number's even less than 100 people who were successfully pulled out in the whole of Turkey. So out of the 50,000 or more deaths that happened, only 100 or so actually were pulled out and survived. And now it's just about clearing the rubble. Obviously, in collapsed buildings, you're not going to be able to remove safely every single sort of body. So I think, unfortunately, the sad thing is that families have sort of had to accept that they may never recover some of the bodies which have unfortunately perished.
You've worked with Humanity First, who actually have done a lot of work worldwide, all over the world. I mean, you've done work with Ebola. They offer free eye operations in schools and water wells all around the world. How did it impact you?
I think, so going with Humanity First is something that I volunteer with on a regular basis. But the impact of, so that I have children of my own and seeing, you know, kids displaced like this, obviously it leaves a scar, and sort of your mental health is impacted quite significantly by this. But on the contrary, it also makes you appreciate life a little bit more and be grateful for what we have, you know, access to fresh water, having a roof over our head to sleep in, you know, warm conditions, heating, etc. These are things which those people don't have at the moment. So obviously living in a country like the UK, these are the smaller things in life which every day we take for granted. When you get put into a situation like this, you really realise how fortunate we are.
Was there much evidence of the Turkish army, which is the sort of second largest army in NATO, was there much evidence that the army was in there helping?
Yes. What context do you mean? Because I'm not sure. Obviously, I was away in Turkey, so I'm not sure what the reports back home were about that.
There weren't any reports of the army. I sort of kept sort of scouring through the news bulletins, and there was obviously some criticism of President Erdogan.
I think it's important to clarify sort of misinformation that we can see in our media. The Turkish authorities have done really, really well. The army are at every camp. There's really good law and order there. There's no problems at all. The army are assisting with everyday tasks in the camps. The Turkish Red Cross are assisting, and they also have an organization which is running the areas affected by the earthquakes called AFAD. And put in together with the army, the setup there is very, very good. And the army has done a fantastic job there.
That's really good to hear. And you're still fundraising for the victims of the earthquake. Where can people put some funds into to help out? And what good will their funds do?
Humanity First is one of the only charities from the UK actually on the ground. So we actually have camps there. We're set up. Funds are important for, you know, basic medical equipment needs. We're obviously medication that we're providing, sanitation for ladies. I think the best way to donate is through .org.uk, and through there, there's a donation link for the Turkey and Syria.
You broke up a little bit there. Could you just repeat that link for me?
We're an organization where there's no salary members of our organization. So every single penny goes exactly where it's needed. None of our directors have any salaries. None of our workers are paid. It's all through volunteers that we're running this charity.
Yeah, could you repeat the link for people to make donations, because it broke up a little bit there?
It's www.humanityfirst.org.uk.
Thank you. We'll wind it up there. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me and giving us an insight of the wonderful work you're doing out in Turkey.